My mom got the scary news, not news, but just statement from my doctor the morning of my mastectomy that, hey, just prepare for the worst. He's had this for quite a long time. It could be everywhere. We just don't know until we get in there and we can perform the right test. And I got lucky, and I tell everybody that I was extremely lucky, and not everybody's the same. And that's why early detection saves lives. So be your own best advocate. If you find a lump, get to the doctor and get it checked out. If they tell you, hey, it's nothing, don't worry about it. Do you still feel like it's something? Well, get a second or third opinion. Get whatever it is that you need to know so you feel comfortable with your body.
Welcome to the Persistence U podcast with Lisbeth, and that's you as in university. But we're much more of a community here. I'm your host, Lisbeth Meredith, author, speaker, and online teacher. Each week, I'll be delivering stories from amazing survivors and strivers, all threaded together with a dose of persistence. So glad you're listening. You know how sometimes you look at snacks at the supermarket and it'll say shareable size. It'll be like maybe M&Ms or a bigger bag of chips, something like that. And it says shareable. That's what this week's episode feels like to me. It's very shareable. I absolutely adored being on Ron Rappaport's podcast called It's a Wrap with Rap. And so I found out that he was a male breast cancer survivor, something we don't talk about enough of. And I invited him to be on Persistence U, and he wisely thought about a couple of people critical to his support system and invited them to come as well. And so this week we have our first ever three people being interviewed at once at Persistence U. I very much admire Peggy and her son Brett and all that they have done for male breast cancer survivors and female breast cancer survivors. So I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I do, and feel free to text it to a friend, share it. There needs to be a lot more awareness of this particular issue. It is, let's see, March 12th as I record this little piece, but the rest was previously recorded. And of course, don't forget that you can watch the episode on YouTube. This is more the enhanced version as I do this little rundown before the podcast begins. So I'll link up to my episode with Ron Rappaport, me being his guest, and of course, Ron, Peggy, and Brett, and their amazing wisdom. And it was just fun to chat with them today. Kind of an inspiring trio. Have a great week. And after this episode, I'll see you in two more weeks. Thanks so much for being here. Her sisters and brothers, I am so very honored today to not have one, but three guests. As you may have remembered, I mentioned that I was on Ron Rappaport's podcast called It's a Wrap. And I was delighted to meet with him, but his backstory was so interesting that he agreed to be my guest. And a couple of people who've become very special to him are Brett Miller and Brett's mom, Peggy Miller, founders of Male Breast Cancer Happens. So I'm really thrilled to have all of you. Maybe, Ron, can you tell just a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll move to Brett and Peggy, and then we'll begin with how you connected with them.
Sure. I'm Ron Rappaport. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and I contracted male breast cancer in 2019 and was pretty shocked about it. And when I found out, it was like quite a huge shock. Had no idea. Started looking it up. My left nipple started retracting, and I did run across on my Google searches male breast cancer happens.org, and I called Peggy up in Kansas City, and we connected there, and she was kind enough to put me at ease about it and connect me to some other people who had it, and sent me a really nice care package. And from there we connected. Oh. And that's how we met.
I love that. That is so terrific. And I think it's amazing that you thought to reach out pretty right away, which probably changed the trajectory of everything.
Yeah, it did.
And Brett, how did you get involved?
Well, I am a coming up on a 14-year breast cancer survivor. I found my lump when I was 17, but it wasn't until I was 24 in 2010 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I had the lump for close to 7 years plus. I had been to two different doctors when I first found the lump, and I was just told that it was a calcium buildup. It was puberty. It'll dissipate. It'll go away. It's nothing to worry about. So I took the word of the doctors, and just kind of went about my life. It wasn't until I was forced by my parents to go get another physical because it had been some time. I had health insurance, but I just hadn't used it for anything. And I went to go get a physical, and the doctor checked me out, said everything was great. And it wasn't until I stopped him from pretty much exiting the room to ask him to come check my right nipple, as I had had this lump for 7 plus years.
Good for you. Good for you.
Because, well, and that was also the nagging of the parents.
Right.
Parent duties, and I see it all now with my
Yay.
kids. But
Oh.
it was it because doctors don't perform breast exams for men in a physical. Pretty much in a nutshell, what we've got is statistics don't show that it happens to very many men, so it's not worth our time to perform a quick breast exam on a male. So they just don't do it. We've been working very hard over the years to change that, to change a lot of the way that some of the what the doctors do. It's an uphill battle, but that's what we're working on. So I had a I ended up having the lump removed, being told that it was nothing. Then it was sent to pathology, performed the pathology report on it. It came back as breast cancer. And then I had a mastectomy and 4 rounds of chemotherapy, and now I have been clear and just making it my mission to make sure that men know that they're not alone, as the way that I felt when I was diagnosed. I didn't have any support groups around town. I didn't have any other men I could talk to. If I was in a group of women that had breast cancer and I said that I had breast cancer, I got the looks like he's lying. This isn't this that's not true and everything. So, just everything that I went through, I wanted to make sure that other men didn't feel that way. And so that's why we started the Male Breast Cancer Happens. And that's just been our mission, is just a big support group and a connection group for everybody, so that if they feel like they're not getting the proper treatments and the right diagnosis from doctors, we get them connected with some of our very talented and very smart doctors that we have, and get the help that they need.
I love that. You were so young. No one would have believed it in a female either, I
No,
feel like.
and everybody always asks me, they're like, well, would you ever go back and sue the doctors that misdiagnosed you for like malpractice? No, because I was 17 years old. At what doctor in
Right.
early 2000s is going to think that a male has breast cancer with the lump? And even after getting the lump removed, most of the doctors, they were like, well, yeah, it probably wasn't always cancerous. At some point, it probably became cancerous, because at the time that I had had it, I was lucky that it was still just located below behind the nipple. It didn't spread to any lymph nodes or anywhere else in my body. Although my mom got the scary news, not news, but just statement from my doctor the morning of my mastectomy that, hey, just prepare for the worst. He's had this for quite a long time. It could be everywhere. We just don't know until we get in there and we can perform the right test. And I got lucky, and I tell everybody that I was extremely lucky, and not everybody's the same. And that's why early detection saves lives. So be your own best advocate. If you find a lump, get to the doctor and get it checked out. If they tell you, hey, it's nothing, don't worry about it. Do you still feel like it's something? Well, get a second or third opinion. Get whatever it is that you need to know so you feel comfortable with your body.
I love that. And I also adore one thing that you talked about, which is there weren't, no one was talking about it. There were no services. So instead of like burying your head in the sand and saying, poor me, you created them. You didn't wait around. You all created this opportunity. And I feel like that's so important for people learning in any kind of crisis, that self-advocacy, if you find something that's
Absolutely.
missing, create it.
Great.
Absolutely
Exactly.
create it, because we need each other to get through things. If you're going through something, someone else, many someone else's are as well. So good for you. I wrote all about this in my second book about, like, hey, if you don't find the service, you can create the service. And that is
Yeah,
fantastic.
and the power of social media is what truly helped us make the connections that we needed. Without it, there's definitely no way that we would be where we're at today, and the connections that we've made.
That is fantastic point also. And Peggy, also, to have a nagging mother. My children who are in their 30s, they don't always understand how beneficial it is to have a nagging mother, but
That's
I can
right.
tell you,
Yes.
this is living proof. And I think
Right.
Ron would say the same. This is beautiful. Peggy, tell us from your end, introduce us a little bit about you and how you all came to create this service.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I am lucky enough to be the mother of three sons and a daughter, and now two grandsons and a granddaughter, with
Beautiful.
another grandson on the way. So it is amazing that we still, every single day, are pushing to get doctors. Can you imagine? Because, as a woman, when we go to a doctor, first thing in a physical, they check our breast, right? Well, imagine in still 2024, if a guy goes to the doctor, finally goes for a physical, because most men never go to a doctor until they're sick and
Very
they
sick.
ask to go, okay. If once we get them to that doctor, if that doctor would turn around and check their breast, can you imagine how many lives would be saved? We
Wow.
have lost so many men strictly to sheer ignorance that they had no idea they could get breast cancer. And the bottom line is, if you have breast, you can get breast cancer. I don't care if you're human, animal, whatever, you can get breast cancer. And that's the knowledge that the world needs to continue to know. And with Brett's story, because he's still pretty much the youngest that we can find on record with
Wow.
breast cancer. He was back in 2010 when he finally got diagnosed. Brett's telltale sign, which he told only his father, and again, men don't know this because they never get checked for breast cancer. Brett was having discharge from his nipple for over a year and a half. Had no clue what it was, told his dad about it. His dad said, "I'll shrug it off, don't worry about it," because he didn't know what it meant.
Sure.
But we women immediately know if you're getting something besides, if you're nursing, besides milk out of your breast, you better get your butt to a doctor, because that's a telltale sign something's wrong. And when we can get men to understand that also, they'll do something a lot faster than to sit around. And so from that, when Brett finally had his surgery, he was diagnosed. It was April 28th, and then May 18th, he had his surgery. And again, we had to go to a couple doctors because the first doctor had no clue how to treat Brett. And we just kept pursuing to get other doctors. So it is important, if you don't feel comfortable with that doctor, or if you don't think he's told you the right thing, just like Brett said, go get a, I don't care if you have to get three or four opinions. Until you feel comfortable in your body and what they're telling you, keep getting opinions. And you have to be your own best advocate. You're the only one that lives in your body. You're the only one that knows what's going on. And from that, Brett has been able, Robin Roberts from Good Morning America, he's been on that several times. He's been on the Katie Couric show, the doctors. There's so many different methods that we have been able, because they found Brett through social media and all, to be on these shows to talk, because it's helped so many men. And on our website, malebreastcancerhappens.org, you can see these. We have a YouTube channel. We
Good.
also have on that website where you can link into breast self-exams for men and women, with a
Excellent.
video and a doctor showing how to do a proper breast self-exam. But also, if you click, we have exam cards for men and women in over 22 different languages that you can download and share right there, Mr. Ron, my man. And
Beautiful,
those are
beautiful,
digital, and
Ron.
you can share those anywhere in all
Okay.
these different languages for people, because this is a global issue. This is on Earth an issue because nobody understands that this can happen. So this
And
is how we got started.
I love it. I feel like there are a lot of women still, including my oldest sister, who died unnecessarily because she refused, love her to death, but refused to see a doctor. And so breast cancer turned into something much more sinister, and then there was no hope. I feel like there's still a lot of us who we either don't feel like we have access to medical care. That is a true
Right.
thing.
That's a lot.
And there are sometimes workarounds, but that's a real problem. And then we don't always feel like we're worth it. We don't always prioritize ourselves to say, you know, I mean, it's just some little thing. I'm really not in much pain. Other people have it much worse. So, you know, that takes a mindset to really understand it's important to be your own best advocate. And I'll ask you tips about that in a minute. May
Definitely. And
I? Yeah.
again, even though you may not have health care, many of our men don't. We have always found a way getting with the state legislatures. We've had states even cover a couple of our guys' entire surgery because they weren't covered in their state. And they
Right.
actually covered the services for them to
Wow.
get treatment. So globally, it gets a little rough because you don't know other countries' laws. But in the United States, we've got them listening. They have declared a third week of October as Male Breast Cancer Awareness Week. And so
Beautiful.
that, that we continue to keep working because with God bless Ron, he does our men's only group where they get on and literally talk about breast cancer and about their surgeries and all. He does that once a month. And then the fourth Thursday of every month, we do a call that's welcome to all family members and everything to get on that call. And we bring in a specialist to talk about male breast cancer. What's the most current information? What's going down? Anything about male breast cancer. And we record that and we put those actually on our private Facebook pages and send it out an email to our, our male breast cancer happened brothers and all and their families.
I love that. Ron, what did it mean for you? Like when you got diagnosed, I'm sure that was just so shocking. But when you Google searched it and you found out there was a community, how was that interaction?
It was great. Before that happened, I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. And it just so happened that a fellow friend of mine, actually not really a friend even, just a colleague that I went swimming with, an acquaintance, let's just say an acquaintance, who had his leg had been amputated many years ago. Said, "Hey, I haven't seen you around." And I took him to the side and I was kind of embarrassed about the whole thing, which many men are in the beginning. And I said to him, "Well, you know, I'm having a problem with my chest area." And he says, "You have male breast cancer, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He says, "I have a friend of mine in upstate New York and I'm going to put you in touch with him." And
Nice.
he did. And it was great just to talk to somebody who had it, you know, and had been through it. And that was before I met Peggy. But once I met Peggy, it was great. We connected right away. And like we always tell men out there, we're here for you. So you're not alone when you hear the words you have breast cancer, because it's terrible if you don't have anybody to talk to about it. And yeah, it's a godsend that Peggy started this group, and very thankful for it.
That's wonderful. I mean, and I love that you got involved to give back as well. You got the
He
support,
does.
but
I
then
did
you
get involved.
also,
And let me tell you why I got involved.
Yes.
I gotten what set it off is, and I always tell this story. Peggy's probably heard it a million times, but I had to get a crown on my tooth, and at my first, I had male breast cancer twice, by the way. I had
Yes.
it in 2019. It came back in 2022, 3 years to the date. After they told me when they did a mastectomy that, you know, it's gone. You don't even worry about it anymore. Well, it did come back, but that's another story. But anyway, in 2019, I had to have a crown put in from the dentist, and my surgery was February 8th, and they didn't want me doing any dental work after the surgery. So I called the dentist and I said, "Hey, can you get my crown before the 8th because I'm having cancer surgery?" Didn't tell him what kind, just said cancer surgery. They said, "We'll do our best." They called me up the day before the surgery. They said, "Your crown's in. Come on in. We'll put it in right now for you." I went in there. I sat down in the chair, and the dental assistant, who was a lady, said, "I understand you're having cancer surgery tomorrow." I said, "Yeah, that's right." She said, "What kind of cancer surgery?" And I said, "Breast cancer." She started laughing at me. She just thought I was, she thought that was, she was like really hysterical laughing. And she said, "Oh, that's such a funny thing." I said, "You know, that's a joke, right?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I know, sorry, I never heard of that, you know." And I said to myself, a light bulb went off, and I said, "You know what? I don't know what stage I am, whatever, but I make it out of this. I'm going to advocate for Peggy's group. I'm going to advocate for male breast cancer awareness, because people think this is not even a real thing." And th and that's how that's how I that was the spark that set it off.
That's good that that determination came with that awful interaction. I think part of it is like we don't call men's chest breasts. And so it all almost right there, it's like, oh my gosh, you know what? Been a
And that
breast?
and that's where it needs to be breast.
And
Right.
that's where we persevere a lot,
Right.
because what you just mentioned is true. And many cultural groups in this country, many of our communities, that term breast is just it's just a taboo.
Yeah,
And
men
you know,
know
they don't
more.
want to hear it. And we're constantly battling, you know, we're
Yeah.
persevering through that to,
Yeah.
hey,
If you
it
have
is breast
nipples, you
cancer.
have
It is what it
breasts.
is.
Right. It's not chest. And,
Right.
when Brett finally had a surgery, and we sat here in the office, and I said, Brett, what do you want to do? And he says, Mom, I want to create a foundation. We may never have the money to do money-wise for anybody, but I want a foundation to bring men together with breast cancer so they never feel alone again like I have. And so this is how it got created. It's Brett Miller 1T Foundation. Male Breast Cancer Happens. That is the name of our 501c3 nonprofit. And Ron says I send out care packages, and we do. We send this with a hat. We even have glow-in-the-dark bracelets that they can share. And
Beautiful.
kids wear them to school. They talk about it. Brett has talked in his old high school many years. Every year he goes during Breast Cancer Awareness Month and talks to the entire athletic division, the football teams, the basketball. And the minute you mention, I can be walking through the wholesale clubs, okay? Going grocery shopping with my shirt on. And they'll stop me and the man will go, I just love your shirt. That is just, and I go, great. I said, well, my son's a, 14-year breast cancer survivor. And immediately in front of me, the men will start checking their breasts.
Wow.
Women can't do it, but men can do
Right, right,
that.
right.
And they do because brought that to their mind and their awareness. Oh my God, I never even thought about it.
Right.
They think it's a woman's disease, but as I say, it is not. It is any being that has breast will or can get breast cancer. And that's what we have to advocate for.
And for audio listeners who aren't on YouTube, the shirt, that you're referring to is men have breasts too, is what it says on your shirt, which I
That's
love
right.
that it has a breast cancer and little emblem. So
Ribbon.
men
And
have
Brett
breasts.
designed the ribbon himself. This is how he
Beautiful.
won. And Brett, explain why the ribbon's this way.
Yes.
I can't
You're
hear you,
muted,
Brett.
Brett.
You're muted. Oh, sorry about that.
Sorry,
There we
I forgot I turned it on.
go. Yeah, it's okay.
when I was diagnosed, we looked, we searched everything. We searched all these different images of a male survivor, a ribbon, so on. The very first ribbon that we found was like a darker blue ribbon with just a male symbol on it, which mm-hmm. was considered breast cancer for men. And then we started seeing, you know, over the course of my diagnosis, other ribbons just like randomly started to pop up. They were a pink and blue one, blue on top, pink on the bottom. There was no like set one. There's multiple ribbons for multiple, you know, the same color of ribbons can be used for multiple different things. The primary thing that I've seen is that if the blue is on top, it's for premature babies. The blue and the pink and the blue's on top, that's the primary one for premature baby and everything. So I didn't really see much of the pink on top and the blue on the bottom, but I like that one better. And that's why we've run with that one more. And that I designed and got tattooed on my side, is because it's always going to be a female dominated disease. Mm-hmm. So the pink, the dominance of the pink, but men can get breast cancer too. So we're kind of in the shadow of the pink. And which a lot of people have said many times, I've heard it many times, out of the shadow of pink. But, you know, along the side of, we can get diagnosed as well, is that men are also a big support system for a lot of women. There are a lot of they're caregivers for a lot of women when they get diagnosed. So it's not just, a breast cancer diagnosis. It's the caregivers that are the support systems behind. So that's why I've always decided I've liked having the pink on top and the blue on the backside. I know that others want to have blue on top to try to show the dominance for the men and everything, but and just try to get the awareness out there. But I think it represents better being the blue behind, just because of our numbers aren't there as the diagnosis for the women, but our the death rates are, you know, percentages and of diagnosis to dying are more, just because of the awareness not out there for the men. And that's just one of the things that I don't know that we really touched on, but one of the bigger reasons that men don't know about it is that we're not included in all the awareness out there for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Everything is always pink and everything always says women. So until society starts including men in all the talks of all the breast cancer awareness, if you are a woman or a male diagnosed with breast cancer, or did you know that men can get breast cancer too? Like anything like that, men aren't going to know. And the diagnosis rates are going to go up and the mortality rates are going to go up. So it's just being included in everything and making sure that men know that it's possible. That's one of our biggest thing is that, you know, the shirt saying men have breasts too, is to get men aware. Because right. There are a lot of times being like, you know, we get asked, what does that mean? And we just tell them that men can get breast cancer too. And a lot are like, what? You know, I didn't even know. It's because the awareness isn't out there. So that's just one of the things, major things that we're trying to build.
I think that's fantastic. That's
I might add that Peggy, besides sending out the bracelets and all that, which I give out all the time, she also sends out, we have made connections out there in the cancer community with people who have their own products that when you go to the shower, you know, after cancer surgery, we have like belts you can put around to put things in. We have healing shirts that are softer and that have pockets inside for the drains and things like that. And we also have some doctors on board that are part of our group that are advisors. And I've used it myself, where a lot of doctors, even oncologists, don't treat that many men. And if they can get another doctor's opinion out there, which we have access to, they're very glad to have that. They're very appreciative. And so we're doing a lot of other things. And I know your podcast is Perseverance U. And I just want to say what Brett mentioned, our numbers are small. The chances of getting male breast cancer are used to be 1 in 1,000. It's gone up to 1 in 833. But we're talking about 2,500 men in the U.S. getting it every year. And we're also talking about 500 men dying every year from it. There's more men that die from male breast cancer than die from testicular cancer.
Wow.
Yeah.
And surely not knowing.
So we're persevering. And I might add, it's what they also alluded to. We are we call ourselves a blue dot in a sea of pink. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the big organizations, I don't want to mention any names, but the big cancer organizations, they do mention us, but nowhere near what they should be doing. Mm-mm. Nowhere near. So you talk about perseverance, you know, it's an uphill battle, but we're not stopping. We're continuing to persevere. Nothing's going to keep us down.
I love that.
I live by the hashtag and the men. Together we will change the world, because not one of us can do it alone. But if we get more and more people talking about it, if you sit down at your dinner table and your family's there and you say, hey, I just did a podcast about male breast cancer. Did you know you could get it? And I guarantee you every man's going to check their breasts right in front of you, because they don't think about it. They have no clue. And with Easter coming up, with Mother's Day coming up, and all the different holidays that are coming up, if you continue to mention it in any group you're in, I'm going to tell you, you will enlighten so many men that they'll go get checked, and it might just save their life because they had no clue they could get it.
I think that's fantastic advice. I think we can ask the listeners and the viewers to please text and share this episode with one or two men in your lives, just as a, hey, did you know this was even possible? And of course, you have the inclusivity of also including men, because they're the care providers of their moms sometimes, or their sisters, or their partners. So it is important, because together we can make a huge difference. But if nobody knows about something, then there's no help to be had, really.
That's right.
I love that you went on, you all, and created something out of a bad circumstance for other people as well, and brought meaning to a situation that has to be really scary sometimes.
It is. You know, I'd expect my one daughter could get breast cancer. You think that genetically my family would have a mutation? We don't. We don't carry any mutation, but I have 15 other women cousins, all with breast cancer. So genetically and hereditary wise, we don't have that, but the doctors do know, because we're in different trials with them and everything. They do know something is running through my side of the family, even my husband, whose aunts have had breast cancer, that run through our family, that they still yet to discover what's causing all the cancers in our family. But remember, he may not genetically just get it. It could be the people from New York from 9/11 that breathed in all those toxins all those years, 20 years ago. They are now coming down with breast cancers now. It could be something that you breathed in toxin-wise, or Camp Lejeune was, and Camp David, where men served in the armed forces and everything, that they were exposed to contaminated waters and stuff that now 20 years later can be causing these cancers. All I can say is be aware, know your body. If you see something that isn't right, go to a doctor. Get an opinion. And Ron brought up, we are so fortunate to have medical advisors. If somebody will send the male breast cancer guy would sends us their medical information, I then copy them directly in to some of the top doctors at Vanderbilt University, Johns Hopkins, and they'll give a second opinion and get with that brother, and they will communicate via email to him. Some of these doctors, you can't get in to see them for 5-6 years, because that's how booked they are. But they're kind enough to want to help the men. And we are just lucky enough to have been able to build such a community that so many people are finally starting to listen and starting to make changes. And that's what it's about.
I think that's beautiful. Beautiful. Ron, where can people learn more about you and your podcast and connect with you? And then I'll ask you, Brett and Peggy, the same.
Sure. My podcast, which deals on some level with male breast cancer and all kinds of cancers, and it's pretty much people overcoming adversities. It's taken off. This is like our fourth year. It's called It's a Wrap with Rap, and they can get a hold of me at It's a Wrap with Rap at gmail.com. It's ITSAWRAP@gmail.com.
Love it. And then Peggy and Brett.
Yes. And it is malebreastcancerhappens.org. And you can reach myself at Peggy at malebreastcancer.happens.org. And Brett, you can explain.
You can find us on Facebook as well. Our group's on there. And then mine is Brett at malebreastcancerhappens.org. Those are probably our two primary things. We have a Twitter, but not as active. Well, X, whatever you want to call it now. Yeah. Not as active on it as we should and stuff, but definitely through our website is our best way to get in contact with us. And we will get in contact with you day or night.
Yeah, and we're on LinkedIn. We're on all the different Instagram. We have the accounts. Some of them we don't work as much, but Facebook seems to be the ones that I get more and more. I mean, in the middle of the night, 3 and 4 a.m., from men all over the different globe time zones, I'll get emails. I'll get texts because we put my phone number up there. Feel free. Anyone can contact me. If I'm not asleep on that pillow, guess what? I'll answer you. Ron knows. He's seen me answer.
Yeah. And I might also add the podcast is on all major platforms, yes. Apple, Google, iHeart, whatever. You can get me. It's a Wrap with Rap.
Wrap with Rap. Love
and,
that.
And his podcast and all are phenomenal. Some of the people Ron has interviewed and talked to is just, this man, he said he never knew. He was a retired pharmacist, never knew what he was going to do when he retired. He never knew what God was going to hand him. And I'm telling you, this man is golden. He is the most beautiful man you ever want to meet.
Appreciate that.
I love it. I love your friendships. I just do. I love your connections. Thank you all so much for being on Persistence U. And if I don't already, I would love an email with your headshots, if that's possible, or whatever you'll give me. And
absolutely.
Thank you so much for all this wonderful information and support. I appreciate it so very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
It is so my pleasure.
And remember, men have breasts too.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I think one of the reasons that touched me so much is it's just one of the messages that you heard over and over was, we don't want people to feel like they're alone. We don't want, as an example, men who are waiting in a world where people laugh when they say we have breast cancer. We don't want them to be alone, left to their own, you know, left to feel like no one's there to help. And I feel like that's so true with many, many issues. With if someone's gone through an abusive relationship, a health crisis, financial, whatever, we're in a world where we show our best and most shiny selves on social media. And it often leaves people to feel like they are the only ones struggling. And so a group like this to show up and support one another and include one another and create services where none existed, that is golden. This is a month in March where personally, and I've talked to a number of friends who feel the same, it can be after the dark winter, but before spring. It can be a little isolating depending on where you're living and the weather, all of that. Lots of us are feeling in a bit of a funk right now. Know that you are not alone and you never will be as long as you remember to reach out. And thanks so much for being here. Please do make a point to share this episode with two men that you know, because I am a firm believer that we're getting beautiful information out about the importance of self-examination for women, but men, not yet. So even though the numbers are less, none of us want to have anyone we care about succumb to a cancer that could have been stopped in its tracks. So let's do our part. Thanks for being here as ever. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. And if you want to find me, I'm at lameredith.com. Sign up for my email list. You can find this episode both on YouTube and, of course, wherever you listen to podcasts. And know that I continue to write. I continue to do interviews with true crime. If you're interested in that, be sure and reach out via the email list and let me know that you want to see some of the links of documentaries that I'm working on, because that's also a place where you hear stories of survivors and great courage. It's not for everyone, I will admit. It is definitely not for everyone because we also do a deep dive into the actual events of crimes themselves. Last thing, it's unrelated, but kind of related. This weekend, when I was feeling alone and like I've worked a lot, what am I going to do for fun? I ran to, made a last minute decision, went to watch a movie at about 10:15 in a nearby town, 10:15 p.m. And I just, you know, I just made that last minute decision. I went to see a movie called Ordinary Angels. And if I looked at the movie trailer, which I did, it looked kind of corny. But I think that's because I'm starting to be trained, like all of us, that if it's not super gritty and negative, that the movie is just trash. And in fact, I love movies that are based on true stories. I mean, my own life was made into a movie based on a true story. But this story was so beautiful, happened in the 90s in Louisville, Kentucky. And it is about a young, struggling family. The mother died very young. And left, leaving behind a couple of kids and a husband. One of the children was terminally ill also if she didn't get a transplant. And what one other woman did, who was completely unrelated to this family, to help save this little girl. And of course, she had her own backstory, her own struggles, and her own reasons for wanting to help so desperately. But how she was able to mobilize a community to create an amazing set of circumstances is so worth watching. So if you haven't already, rent, stream, or go see Ordinary Angels if you need a shot in the arm this month. Thanks again. Talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye. I hope you've enjoyed this week's show. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed it, feel free to leave a review. And if you've really, really enjoyed it, go ahead and subscribe, and I'll see you next week.
Proud member of the Podnougan Network.